Go with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. There's a place on the back of your bulletin if you take notes. You're more than welcome to do that. Use your Bible app. You can use your Bible app to follow along with it. Take notes on it. However you do it, pay attention to the Word. Being a worship leader, worship is one of the favorite parts of service for me. However, it's the Word that gets me through the week.
That's right.
I can listen to music through the week, but standing on the promises of Christ my Savior, standing on this right here,
yes,
is what I have to build my foundation upon.
Amen. Amen.
Everything else is icing.
Amen.
This is the cake. This is the meat. Everything else is just icing on the top. So we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to start reading with verse 14. Before I read that, you all know I really enjoy teaching more than I do standing up here on Sunday morning and preaching, but I enjoy getting into scripture that makes me think. That makes me think about what does this really mean? What is scripture trying to tell me here? And I'm very jaundiced. James chapter 5 and verse 12 simply says, let yes be yes and no mean no. You know what that means? God's word is very simplistic.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
That's right.
There are no gray areas.
Right.
The world says there's lots of gray areas. If you're politically offended this morning, brace yourself. Because God's word says it's yes or it's yes. It's no or it's no.
That's right.
There is no in between. And if you don't believe that, you might as well bail ship now. Because yeah. God's word will last forever.
That's right.
His word does not change. I will repeat that. It is the same yesterday, today,
forever.
Yesterday, today, and
forever.
Forever. It remains true. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. King James Version says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? The NIV says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Pray with me if you will. Father, we love you. Thank you for your wonderful spirit that we have already felt in our service. God, we know that you are here, that you're with us. And God, as we dig into your word today, I pray that it will be a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, because your word says it will. Let it find a lodging place in our heart, God, so that we can grow from it and learn from it. We'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Every part of Scripture should cause us to ponder, meditate, and eventually draw closer to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Every portion of Scripture should do that. I know we're in March now, and so February is already over, but I want to allude to this for just a second. Whenever you think of the month of February, I would assume most of us think of Valentine's Day when we think of February. Am I right?
Right.
And in the month of February, I mean, come on. What's better than kisses from the love of your life?
Amen.
There were some sarcastic giggles in that. But I'll take it. The only thing that's better than that is you can binge out on chocolate. You know, while kissing the love of your life. That's the only thing that's better. Love chocolate. It's got to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Though most of the time I have heard messages preached on this particular scripture about being unequally yoked, it always seems to be in reference to our love lives. Don't date someone who isn't a Christian. Don't fall for someone outside of your faith. And while I 100% agree with that perspective and interpretation of the word, I have to say that there's a lot more to this verse than just some advice on who to buy chocolate for on Valentine's Day.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
But just to get that side out of the way, let's start by discussing the romantic side of things. And Cammie grips the pew hard. What does it mean to be yoked with someone. Now listen, the Lord dealt with me about this particular message back around Christmas time, so I've had it a long time. So God knew who was here today and who wasn't going to be here today. And so this is ordained for today. So if you're here, know that God wanted you to hear this today.
Right.
So what does it mean to be yoked with someone? Well, a quick Google search defines the term yoke as a device for joining together a pair of draft animals. Don't get the idea that I'm calling you all mules or ox or any other type of farm animal today. I'm just defining. Okay, yoke was a wooden bar or a frame used to join draft animals at the heads or neck so that they pulled together.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yokes also pressed against a hard pulling animal's windpipe, choking it. See, the purpose was for the two to benefit from each other's strength so that more work could be done more efficiently,
right,
pulled in the same direction. So it's important to understand the context of the scripture. So when Paul advises us not to be yoked together with unbelievers, actually let's look at verse 14 again. I'm going to read verse 15 as well. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial, which is wicked, or in some translations, just meaning Satan? So when Paul is advising us here, he's saying unbelievers, don't be joined with them. Now, dating and marriage is obviously the most common way to be joined with someone. So other than physical intimacy, we also experience an emotional bond with the person we love. But notice this verse does not say, don't be yoked in marriage with unbelievers. It simply says, don't be yoked together with unbelievers. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yeah.
Sometimes we get this context mixed up. It's important to understand the whole concept of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So this leads us to the conclusion that marriage and dating is not the only way to be joined with someone. So all of you married couples can say amen, because that's not what I'm going to talk about. We can also get in over our heads with close friends, with co-workers, with neighbors, even with unsaved family members. How many of us have a friend or two, four, or six that are unbelievers? We all do. We all have people that we are acquainted with, sometimes closely, that are unbelievers. And we probably tell ourselves, hey, it's okay. This person knows I'm a Christian and respects my beliefs. So as long as we're enjoying ourselves, what's the harm? Remember, I'm here today to make you think about Scripture. Let the Holy Spirit do His job. I'll deliver the word. Let the Holy Spirit deal with you there. Remember that 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all Scripture, not just a part of it, but all Scripture is God-breathed and is for our teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and training us in righteousness. See, God has the absolute perfect plan right here. It's just the fact when we don't follow it, it's when it messes up. And yet we blame other people or ourselves when things don't go according to plan. But yet, if we just follow this,
right,
it wouldn't happen in the first place.
Amen.
So, let me give you a personal example. And one in which this is what the Lord laid on my heart several months ago in regards to this specific message. And again, this is a personal story. I went to work for the city of Fayetteville somewhere back around 2009. And most of you know me, I've always been a social type of person. Getting people to talk or befriending them has never really been a challenge for me. For the most part, I can be friends, for the most part, with almost anyone. Almost. Okay. Same for you. Same for you. You know. I was placed in a position, however, at the city where I led a community development team, which was comprised of several different levels of planning and engineering, building. In other words, I had to bring several masterminds, several people with highly regarded degrees and knowledge together to reach a desired goal. Following? To reach a desired goal. And of course, all the while, we were balancing political agendas, which only adds an extra level of stress to that. If you try to go together a builder with a planner, their minds do not think alike. One is gifted with the thought process of doing everything with his hands. He really doesn't have to do much thinking about it. He just does it with his hands. Most planners, I have learned, have never touched a 2x4 or a nail gun. And when you get them together in the same room trying to reach one goal, they are on opposite ends of the spectrum. So trying to get them to bring them together, a yoke would have been so helpful for me back then. But it didn't happen. However, in this process, as we all do naturally, we gravitate toward people who share the same interests, like the same food, enjoy the same hobbies. I'm going somewhere with this, okay? I haven't left the yoke back here. I'm going somewhere with this. We all gravitate toward people that have similar interests and similar hobbies. Amen? Mm-hmm. We do. So, I mentioned this a few weeks ago during our Wednesday night class. And if you're not a part of our Wednesday night class, let me encourage you. We have an amazing Bible study.
Yes.
So interactive with the group, you love. So if you're not engaged in Wednesday nights at 7, you need to be. Okay, moving on. But I'm 100% sure that God had led me to that position at the city of Fayetteville in order to find a godly man who has been one of my closest friends up until this day. I have no doubt that is the reason that I was there. He's been a good guy. We still talk. We still have lunch together. We bonded quickly because there was a Christ-like spirit that we felt between the two of us. And that spirit was very few and far between in a liberal type of government. Okay?
Right.
However, I got to know another gentleman that I really didn't know a whole lot about. He was around my age. We enjoyed going to Tiny Tim's on the square. Love pizza. Talked about food 2 or 3 times already today. Sorry about that. But we would go to Tiny Tim's on the square, several of us, and we'd have lunch, and this guy was just an all-around natural good guy. However, I remember the day that I found out that he had an alternative lifestyle and was married to a member of the same sex. So I remember the day he told me about it, and I thought to myself, okay, well, I'm still a Christian. That doesn't change that. So I don't really care about what he believes. As long as he doesn't say anything rude or insulting about my faith, it'll all be okay. Because after all, we don't want to ruffle feathers, right? We don't want to stir the pot, right? We don't want to offend anyone, right?
Yeah. Come on, preach.
Where is the ruffling feathers and letting everything go and not standing up for what we believe God has sworn to we are today?
Exactly. Exactly.
It got prayer taken out of schools.
Yeah.
It got Bibles taken out of students' hands. It got same-sex marriages pretty much legalized in every single state. This is not Chris. This is the Word of God. Somebody says, oh, no, you can't judge me. No, I'm not. This is God's Word.
Right.
I'm not judging you. There is a plan. This is God's plan. When we stray away from it, we get ourselves in trouble. Anyway, I became known in the office as the community development administrator who just happened to be a worship leader at a church in Siloam. Well, one day several of us were having lunch at Tiny Tim's. Pizza again. Cindy, I know you're out there. I know you can see me on the camera. She brought me chocolate chip cookies a couple weeks ago. And if there's one last meal that I get, I hope it's a Meat Lover's Pizza and Cindy's chocolate chip cookies. I know some of you were wondering, so your curiosity is satisfied. We can move on. Anyway, we had just finished having lunch on the square. We decided to walk around the corner to a local coffee shop and grab a coffee before heading back to the office, when one of our friends from the group leaned over to me and he said, "So you're a Christian?" He said, "And Sam's married to another man. So how does that work?" Before I could even answer, Sam heard that. And this is what Sam said. "Oh, that doesn't matter. It doesn't get in the way of our friendship. He doesn't let that get in between us." Until that very moment, I'd never thought much about my friend's rejection of Christianity. However, when I heard those words leave his mouth, I felt like I had been hit by a Mack truck. You know what that Mack truck is sometimes? Or that in our spirit, in our mind, it's the Holy Spirit says, hey, pay attention.
Yeah.
Trying to tell you something here. Mm-hmm. Listen, don't ever override that.
Yeah. Right.
Always listen to the Holy Spirit. He uses our conscience as a guide. And as a Christian, we should be tender to that voice and to that spirit. Listen to it.
Yes.
Don't override it. But when I heard those words, man, it was tough. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. To bring about conviction in order for us to grow. Listen, my relationship with Jesus Christ is precious to me.
Yes.
Your relationship with Jesus Christ should be precious to you. It's the foundation of our faith and therefore the very reason for our existence. Amen?
Amen.
Without Jesus, we are nothing. So to hear someone sum up my love for the Father as that infuriated me. To hear someone say that my love for Christ doesn't get in the way made me feel like I had put my faith on the back burner. If being open and forthcoming about my love for the Lord, that was something that could get in the way of a friendship, then did I really need that friendship?
Yeah.
Think about that for a second. I haven't left the don't be yoked together with unbelievers. I'm getting there. If being open and forthcoming about my love for the Lord was something that could get in the way of a friendship, did I really need that friendship anyway?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that I was rude and I cut him off, nor did I treat him badly. I am still called to love and be a light. You are still called to love and be a light.
Yes.
Love is also the foundation of everything. Mm-hmm. Just because they don't agree with everything you agree with or don't agree with doesn't mean that you don't love them.
Right.
It doesn't matter. The worst of sinner could walk into our service today. And you and I are called to love them. Period.
Yeah.
Non-negotiable. We're called to love them. So I wasn't rude. I didn't cut him off. I didn't treat him badly. However, we are still called to be that love and life. And Christ comes first.
Right.
Period.
Amen.
I'd rather offend someone by not being their friend than disregard my relationship with Christ.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Friendships are temporal. My relationship with Christ is eternal.
Amen.
It's actually very simple. I'd rather please the Lord and cling to Him than forsake my faith to keep a friendship that I really didn't need. In that moment, I realized this scripture, which I read today, about not being unequally yoked together with unbelievers, gave me an understanding that being unequally yoked could mean a friendship.
Yeah.
It could mean a family member.
Right.
It could mean someone other than someone you love or your spouse. It's a relationship. Until then, I didn't realize how much less I talked about Jesus, His blessings in my life, or even church activities when I was around Him. Why? Because I had become accustomed to leaving my faith behind just to avoid confrontation or friction in between us.
Yeah.
Come on. We are all guilty of that.
Yes, sir.
We are at times leave our faith and our Christianity on the back burner for fear of offending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, let me remind you, being afraid to confront or being offensive when it has to do with this right here has got us in the shape that the world is in today.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
You can be confrontational in a positive way.
Yeah.
That's right.
You can.
Amen.
You can confront things in a positive way. Even as we work around people who are not believers, we sometimes get accustomed to their language, their jokes, their behavior, just for the simple fact of not wanting to address it. When in fact, our silence says everything it needs to say. We don't want to ruffle feathers. We don't want to confront. So what we're really saying is, my Christianity, it isn't really worth causing a disagreement. Make you think, then.
Come on. Yeah.
Made me think. If we go back and read the verses prior to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, we find that Paul is addressing our character. He's addressing our conduct and how we're to live as Christians so that no offense or reproach can be blamed on the ministry. Look at verse 3, chapter 6. We give no offense in anything that the ministry may not be blamed. But if we go past verse 14 into verse 17, where a very familiar verse of Scripture is found, it says, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you."
I will.
Now that passage sometimes is misunderstood one way or another, and that's why I reiterate that it is important that we understand the full context of this whole chapter. What is Paul telling us here? He is telling us that our lives, our beliefs, our, the ways that we do our everyday life and so on, should not be yoked together with the beliefs of this world. The particular text I read out said, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. But prior in this scripture, Paul is saying, hey, let your conduct be as one, so that your conduct and the way you do business isn't blamed on the ministry.
Right.
What does that say? That says everything you do, everything we say, should be for one purpose, and that's to glorify Him and not bring a reproach on Him.
Yeah. Yes,
sir. I'll also quote Romans chapter 12, verse 2 here. It says, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, His pleasing, and His perfect will. Now, I want to be very, very plain so that there's no confusion. I am not saying that you cannot be friends with someone who is not a believer. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what Scripture is saying. But this is what Scripture is saying. He is saying you cannot be yoked together with someone who is an unbeliever.
Right.
There is a difference. Mm-hmm. I mentioned earlier, and I'll mention again, we're called to love. We're called to be light. That's non-negotiable. Jesus loved. Jesus was the light. But Jesus also had conversations with unbelievers,
right,
with sinners, with tax collectors.
Yeah.
I mentioned this Wednesday night, with the IRS. He sat down and had a meal with them. For Mark, in Mark chapter 2, we'll see that when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with sinners and tax collectors, so he was in fact friendly. And he even had a meal with them. He shared a meal with them. So that's not what I'm saying, that you can't. But even in those times, this is what Jesus did that we failed to do. He redirects their conversations and points them to repentance.
Yes. Good.
He redirects the conversation. We should redirect the conversation and say, hey, let me tell you about what the Lord's done in my life. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you about how God has answered a prayer for me. Let me invite you to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
I think we have to ask ourselves, how much time am I dedicating to an unbeliever? Am I teaching them about the Lord? Again, am I redirecting my conversation? Am I inviting them to church? Are their habits and characteristics compromising my Christian values? This example has been used many, many times. But if I'm standing up here and I have someone come and stand here, even if it was Cameron, for me to try to pull her up on the stage would be much, much more difficult than for her to just pull her arm and jerk me down. It is so much easier to be pulled down than it is to be pulled up. And again, that's what Scripture's telling us here. I've known many Christians who've had great intentions when it comes to hanging out with unsaved people. We often tell ourselves, it's okay to maintain that close relationship with these people because maybe, just maybe I'll bring them to salvation. Maybe I can lead them to Christ. This is a wonderful, great idea. But remember, it's just an idea. I don't say that. Let me back that up with Scripture. The Word of God says something very specific about this. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. When he starts out saying, be not deceived, he's not talking to sinners. He's talking to you and I.
Right.
Be not deceived, Christians. Be not deceived, those of you who love the Lord or called according to His purpose. Evil communications corrupt good manners. I find it interesting that Scripture doesn't say, don't be misled or deceived in another translation. It actually implies that there are some believers who have been misinformed and are confused about what's right and what's wrong. But the next part of that verse clears it up very plainly by stating, bad company corrupts good character.
Yeah.
What does that mean? It means get out of that relationship. You cannot be yoked together with that. You might hope that you can believe an unbeliever to the Lord. You might pray that your light shines bright enough that it leads them to the Lord. But according to God's Word, it is less likely. Mm-hmm. You know what's more likely? Just living your life before them.
Yeah.
Just living the life before them that is pleasing to God. Following His Word. Doing what we're supposed to be doing. Living the way we're supposed to be living. Talking the way we're supposed to be talking.
Yeah.
Just living that life before them is often the most beneficial.
Yeah.
What is likely is that we will be pulled away from the cross and we compromise our convictions and our faith. Scripture also reminds us that we are a temple of the living God, so our relationship choices need to reflect a clear and distinct separation from anything that is not in line with God's will. Sometimes just living and being the light in front of them is the best testimony you can do. Now don't get me wrong. I want to emphasize that we're not talking about witnessing to unbelievers. We should do that. We should be doing that. Scripture is referring to yoking or attaching ourselves to unbelievers. There are some who have a wonderful testimony to share where they've had a positive influence on a relationship. But you know what? We don't know all the details of that relationship. We don't know the spiritual battles that were fought, the prayers that were prayed. We don't know the cost. Which is why the Word encourages us and instructs us not to be unequally yoked. Instead, we're to trust that God brings valuable friends, family, spouses, people that draw us closer to the cross, not those who cause us to compromise our faith. Don't take this as a cry to abandon your friends and family. I have unsaved friends. I have unsaved family. Some of which I see every day. But we're not to be yoked to them. We shouldn't allow those people to take up any more time of our day than necessary. And we should jump at every single chance for the opportunity to share Christ with them.
Amen. Yes, sir.
More than anything, there has to be a clear understanding that the cross comes first. Hey, the cross has got to come first, church. I refuse to forsake. I refuse to overlook or compromise my faith for anyone. And if they're a friend, they really would want you to anyway. Joshua 24, chapter 24, verse 15. You all could quote this one as well. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. I'm going to skip the next, go to verse 16. At the end, verse 18. No, go back to 17. Hold on just a second. I may have wrote down wrong. Choose you this day whom you will serve. ... But as for me and my house, we're going to serve who?
Yeah.
We're going to serve the Lord. Oh, it wasn't verse 15. Thank you, Lisa. Not your fault, mine. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In other words, it does not matter. No matter the cost, we have to have a made up mind,
right,
that we're going to serve Him regardless. We live in a world today, church, where everything is negotiable. Everything has to be discussed. There are no absolutes. Everyone has got an opinion. However, when you give your life to Christ, and some are going to take a second step in that in just a few minutes, but when you give your life to Christ, God's Word is now your fact checker.
That's right. That's right.
This is our opinion.
Yes.
This is our foundation.
Amen.
When you commit to Christ, this is what you commit to. What He says goes, and your opinion no longer matters.
That's right.
Because our heart wants to follow after the flesh.
Right.
So we have to constantly redirect it back to what this says. We approach sometimes God's Word as if we can negotiate with it, because our world has programmed us to think that way. But nowhere in God's Word will you find God say, "Yeah, I understand that things are different now, so go ahead and negotiate it if necessary." Never does it say that. But it does say His Word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And
yeah.
God does not change.
Yeah.
If we don't believe that, then we might as well abandon ship right now. Because as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Let me finish this up with giving you one more perspective on yoke. You see, we're going to be yoked one way or another. Somebody is going to get the benefit of our strength. Remember the purpose of the yoke? So that they could both pull. They could both go the same direction. If one falls, guess what? Both going to fall. That's why God warned against it.
Mm-hmm.
To put yourself, yoke yourselves together with believers. So somebody's going to get the benefit of our strength. But when God yokes with us, I like this.
Yeah.
When God yokes with us, He pulls the weight.
Mm-hmm.
His strength is made perfect in our weakness.
Yeah.
However, Satan wants to yoke us as well. And he wants to yoke us to some sin that overlooked or tasted so good at first. Some relationship or friendship that we thought we just could not live without. But now it's taking everything we have just to get up and face another day. Remember, whenever we yoke ourselves with Christ, He alone becomes our motivation. When we yoke ourselves with Christ, He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16, just a few more verses down from our text. "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and will walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Let's go ahead and read verse 17. "Wherefore come out from among them, be separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Verse 18, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. Wow. No greater thing in life could we ever achieve than to be called the sons and the daughters of the One who created the entire universe and breathed the very life that you're breathing in your lungs right now. So, the yoke's on you. It's your choice. Choose wisely, because eternity is at stake.